Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Whether you're looking to elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments, Tecovas boots will do the trick. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's Tecovas.com, and don't go gently, y'all. Today, plausibly live, it's the Zabecast.
No, we'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and DC Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Pollin.
Uh-huh. See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go.
In the immortal words of whoever called the Hindenburg attempted landing, oh, the humanity. Rory McIlroy, oh my God, two missed short putts to cost himself the U.S. Open. Take nothing away from Bryson DeChambeau, who made a bunker shot for the ages. But man, Rory threw this one away. As we say hello to noted part-time golf enthusiast Andy Pollin.
I would say former golfer. I was I was sitting with my son and my son-in-law, who actually plays and is pretty good. And I said to them, I don't know why anybody plays golf.
It's a great question. Why? If the best players in the world can miss teeny, tiny putts like that, why would you even play if you're just an amateur? Yeah. So frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, you know, baseball players strike out at every level. I get that.
Right.
But golf, I mean, if you took like a 12-year-old and said, make that putt, he'd make it. 5 out of 10 times, 7 out of 10 times,
maybe more. The X out of X number of times stat is more insane than you know. Do you know that they track these putts now on the PGA Tour and at majors down to the inch using these very sophisticated sort of surveying lenses and cameras and binoculars stationed on every green? So they'll shoot every putt and they'll give you an exact number. Like so-and-so is, you know, 18 feet, 2 inches from the cup. And then they load all that data into a database and they keep track of this stuff. Rory, prior to missing the first of the two short putts, he was 2 feet, 8 inches. All right. He had been, get this, Andy, 496 for 496 inside of 3 feet this season.
Wow.
Yeah.
So again, why does anyone play this stupid game?
I remember back in the day when we used to do golf from the veranda out at Avenel.
Yeah.
And I really loved that. That was really a nice way to do shows. And
that was great. Yeah. For those that don't know, the PGA Tour would make a stop regularly in the DC area, and they played at the tour owned TPC Avenel, which had a great 18th hole with a big amphitheater and a big patio. We would set up our radio setup over, and we used to get a pretty decent, representative sample of tour pros that would come through. Not the highest profile event, but pretty good. And it was usually right around Memorial Day, so the weather here was good before it got too stinking hot. And we don't have that anymore because, I don't know, the tour just goes to other markets. It's the dumbest thing ever, but it is what it is. Okay.
Yeah, they lost it, and they got it back a little bit. Tiger had his thing, and then I guess he didn't want to go to Avenel. But anyway, but here's the point. This was actually a good field because the following week, the U.S. Open was across the street at Congressional. So a lot of guys, showed up to play that and then would go on to play the U.S. Open. And there was a guy by the name of Mark Wiebe, who was lining up for what looked like a 4-inch putt. And I was working as we used to do, we did the talk show, but we were saying what was happening as the golfers were coming through. And so I saw him lining up for like a 4-inch putt, and I thought this would be a good time to go to commercial. and I said,
Four inches, though.
Yeah, I said, we're going to come back and we're going to have the playoff. And it was Justin, somebody or other, was in the clubhouse, tied for the lead.
Right.
And I thought, okay, he'll make this putt, and then we'll have the playoff. He missed the 4-inch putt. I couldn't believe it.
Was it 4 inches?
It seemed like it. I mean, it was just – and then he talked about the Poana grass or some nonsense like that.
Oh, my God.
It was awful.
Yeah. It reminds me of the great scene in The Sopranos. When Tony is trying to bribe the doctor to at least put a call in to his Uncle Junior because he's worried about dying from cancer and he won't return his calls. So he brings him a driver and he's like, oh, you got to take this driver. Besides, he's like, what am I going to do with it? I already got one. And the doctor is reluctant and he turns to Furio, his muscle, who had ridden out to the golf course with him. And he's like, yeah, besides, Mr. Williams here doesn't play golf. And Furio says, stupid a fucking game.
Play.
Here you go.
Right?
Stupid a fucking game.
I love that so much. How I feel
about it. Yards to my drives.
Thanks. But I really can't accept it.
For everything you've done for my uncle. Anyway, what am I going to do with it? I already got one, and Mr. Williams here, he don't play. Right?
Stupid a fucking game.
Stupid a fucking game. It's a stupid game, but it's also a great game. Some would say, Andy, the greatest game ever played. It is a game full of triumph and tragedy and glory and heartbreak and constant striving. It cannot be conquered. Golf can't, and it's been around forever. It's the ancient game. And so, therefore, you don't have to play. I know you tried it and you said, it's not for me. But it is a game that is tremendous, and I feel sick for Rory McIlroy. Question, have you ever felt genuinely sick for an athlete, ever, about any loss? Or in any situation where you're like, God, you know what? These athletes, we don't know them. Many of them are complete assholes. They make way too much money. But I actually feel sorry for him.
Well, this was not a professional athlete. There was a kicker for Navy, Ryan Buccinieri, and it was an Army-Navy game. And they set it up for him. They kept moving the ball to make sure it was on the center of the field. And it was like a 15-yard field goal to win the game, to win the Army-Navy game. And he missed it. And I felt terrible for him. He stood up and he answered every question. But I've come to find out that the players were so mad at him that basically they chased him away. I don't think he ever played football again.
Wow. Okay. Who was the guy? Donnie Moore committed suicide after giving up the famous home run to Jack Clark in the
Not Jack Clark, Henderson, David Henderson.
Oh, you're right. David Henderson of the Boston Red Sox, 1986, yeah. I want to say.
Yep,
Donnie Moore was a pitcher for the Angels,
yep.
Gave up a late home run. Now, in all fairness, I don't know if there's other problems in his life, financial problems, drug problems, women problems. I mean, we tend to make a linear line between, hey, this guy once, he didn't kill himself the next day. Like, it was a while later, as I recall.
Right. Now here are the ones that...
Do you feel bad for Scott Norwood?
Yes, I do. I felt bad for him.
Okay.
I did not feel bad, though, for Chris Webber or Greg Norman.
Right.
Yeah, because they are unlikable people.
True.
And I didn't really even know that Webber was that unlikable then, but also, you know, not to know, they told him in the huddle, we don't have any more timeouts. Don't call timeout. And he called timeout.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and he was always, you know, promoting what a big time player he was. And they were quite a story, the Fab Five. But in those kind of situations, you got to be smart. And he wasn't.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those that don't know, Andy Pollin will never have a soft spot for Chris Webber because he is a known liar. And
yes.
Andy reserves the lowest ring of dishonor for anyone who is a blatant liar in his eyes. And Chris Webber lied about his upbringing because he came from a pretty solidly middle-class Michigan upbringing and pretended like he was roaming the streets looking for his next meal.
Right. And I'm not the only one that said that. John Thompson recruited him. And John Thompson used to say, that boy was far from poor.
That said, the bunker shot by Bryson DeChambeau, mm-hmm. it has to be noted for anyone who's not a golfer, was a 10 out of 10 difficulty. A long bunker shot of about 50 yards, but not a full shot, and you have to catch it just right. It's got to be like Goldilocks's porridge. Not too hot, not too cold. You can't quite clip it. You can't quite blast it. And he hit it perfectly. This was the triple Lindy in back to school fame of difficulty for a golf shot. And he pulled it off. And that you got to feel, you know, if you don't hate Bryson DeChambeau, you got to feel pretty good that the guy pulled off a very clutch shot. Now, there's a larger story about the Bryson DeChambeau arc of his character as an athlete, because it's made quite the resurgence, Andy.
Yes, I understand that. Yes, and he's a little quirky, I must say that. I don't, you know, follow it as closely as you do. But here's the question that I have. He was a hole behind Rory, correct?
No, he was. He was
okay,
the last
was he,
group.
Was he fully aware?
Oh, yeah.
He was.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He knew if he got up and down, he would win the trophy.
Okay, because I've heard sometimes when, you know, they're like a hole behind, they don't necessarily know what has happened. But I imagine the caddies are responsible for keeping up on
that,
too.
And scoreboards and everything. Yeah, they're fully aware of everything, and so you knew it was at stake.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was a hell of an up and down. Now, here's the thing. So DeChambeau is still not liked by many of my fellow golf nerds on my multiple text threads. Mm-hmm. I, however, am at least Bryson neutral, if not positive, because he's evolved. And where he once used to be a guy who would be a total dick with rulings that he didn't like, that he was like, I deserve to get a drop here. And he had a famous incident at the Memorial, Jack's Place, in which he acted like a complete unprofessional ass. He said cocky things like after he won the U.S. Open in the COVID year at Wingfoot, went to Augusta the next spring. He's like, well, this place is like a par 68 for me because he hits the ball so far. He proceeded to miss the cut. He blamed his driver for being shitty at the British Open one year. He might have been doing some kind of steroids or HGH as he bulked up to huge proportions to try to smash the ball farther and farther. And then he goes to the LIV Tour. And so it was kind of easy to go, what a dick.
Yeah.
But he has changed himself with his YouTube channel. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think YouTube might have saved him. And here's why. He oriented himself towards being a fan favorite and connecting with fans and being more normal and not so much golf robot-y, so he can play a final round in an open like he did and then sign a hat for a kid in a wheelchair between holes and high-five fans between holes and talk to the crowd like, all right, I'm not going to hit driver, but don't boo me, please. I got to lay up on this hole. Those are things, Andy, that most tour players never do. They stay in their bubble. But Bryson has embraced this social media angle, and his YouTube channel is poised to surpass 1.5 million subscribers at the end of the year. That would be more than the PGA Tour's YouTube channel. That's not insignificant.
Fat Jack probably would have benefited from that when everybody liked Arnie and hated Fat Jack.
So goes to Jack Nicklaus. Would you have had a YouTube channel if you were playing today? And what would be on it?
Technology. Yeah, the kid Barbara would have helped me a little bit.
Golf course design, maybe. And how to hit a flop shot.
Exactly.
Yeah, and some cat videos. I love the cat videos. They're very funny. Yeah. So anyway, Bryson DeChambeau has made quite the U-turn. However, as one golf writer put it, he's winning. And what do Americans love more than anything, Andy?
Winners.
A winner. Exactly. There is no substitute for the sweet aroma of a winner.
Yep.
And that's the way it goes.
Ain't got no rings, they don't love you.
All right, let's move on. Cut to today. Charles Barkley says he's retiring. I didn't even finish my stint. he swears he's retiring from television at the end of this NBA run, no matter what. Okay. He was a guest on the NBA Finals halftime show and said, look, I don't know what's going to happen with Turner next year in the NBA package, but I am definitely done. Your thoughts. Yeah.
Okay, he says this at his last obligation, I guess, for NBA TV, and he's already thinking about his summer vacation. His job has 4 or 5 months off built in. When he does work, he does, 2 days a week, except for in the NCAA tournament? That's not a job.
I know. But when you get paid a lot of money and you have to show up, say, 110 nights a year out of 365, that would be his workload, right? I'm guessing here.
I bet it's less than that.
Okay. When you do 110 nights a year for X number of years for X number of dollars, eventually you think, man, I'd like to work less.
but
you become accustomed to the already not strenuous job. I will admit I have fallen into this at times, Andy. I have to pinch myself to go, hey, wake up, dummy. You have it good right now. Don't fuck this up.
Right. And it's not the money. It's just that he will be sitting at home when basketball's going on and he's going, what am I doing? You know, I mean, I liked hanging out with the guys. He seems to really like what he does. And
he's clearly not grinding. He's not preparing for 3 hours at a time. He's barely getting a sheet that says, okay, here's who's out with an injury for tonight's game.
The less prepared he is, the better he is. You know, I don't get this. He will miss the camaraderie of being around the people. And again, you know, there's such a thing as retirement, but you have to do something. What is he going to do every day? He's got to do something,
well,
right?
He says he wants to play golf every day, be on a golf course. I say, are you sure? Because even those of us who love golf, every day is a lot.
Yeah.
But secondly, you could still do that because unless you're in a cold weather city for a finals game, although by the time the playoffs roll around, it's springtime anyway, you play in the morning. You got all day to play, and then the games are at night.
When he's doing games in Atlanta in the studio, right, for TNT,
right.
It starts at 7 o'clock.
Atlanta usually is golf weather if you want it. I think he's...
10 o'clock tee time. He's out in time to get to this. I mean, they don't do any rehearsals.
Right.
All they do is sit down and start yapping.
What are people most attracted to? That which they can't have.
Right.
So he's probably trying to set up a sense of, ooh, if we can convince Barkley to come out of retirement, air quotes, for X amount of money, then we'll look like big shots in the broadcast world.
And this, to TNT, this has got to be a gut punch because they're trying to negotiate a contract and now an extension. And maybe the NBA says, well, if you're not going to have Barkley, you know, you're not so attractive to us as a partner anymore. Right?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it's a good point. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Cut number three. Snoop Dogg visits the Milwaukee Brewers? Trying to figure out the connection here, but I need your thoughts as I play you a clip of Snoop Doggy Dogg calling baseball.
I came in where the players come in at, because I'm a player. Get Maybe. Up in there. Oh, he's safe. He can't throw that. He ain't got no arm like that. No, he don't.
Oh, he does, though.
No, he don't.
Oh, he does.
Who is that with that rocket?
Kelly De La Cruz.
Oh, Lord.
With a howitzer.
He got a rocket in his pocket. Man, oh, he made that.
Okay, what are your thoughts on Snoop Dogg? Because people went gaga for him. Everyone loves Snoop.
I don't understand his attraction, but I will say this. If he's able to attract more African-Americans into playing baseball, it probably be a good thing.
I don't think he's going to move the needle on that.
Yeah, well, then I don't know. I mean,
I'm not anti-Snoop, but it to me, he's so sanitized and so thoroughly scrubbed clean that if I had been in a coma the last 50 years and just came out and saw him and saw all the corporate entities he's, you know, associated with, I would say, oh, you know what? It looks like Disney has created a rapper. This guy, Snoop Dogg, must be a product of Disney, the safe rapper for suburban white guys and white moms to embrace.
And once they legalize marijuana, you know, what's the edge to him?
Right. What's the edge? Oh, he smokes marijuana. Yeah. Says faux shizzle. Okay. Yeah, he's cool, man. Right. Is he the only one or okay?
He's in his 50s now, isn't he? Maybe 60s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. But there has to be a lot of rappers who look at his portfolio of endorsements and just access to stuff. And they just must be going crazy, going, you know, I could be that guy too, you know. I could be similar to him. Why am I not getting the calls? Because Snoop is getting all the calls. Cut four. The Commanders, Andy, apparently have, and I just found this out this weekend, an official team dog.
Yeah.
In the living hell? If Snyder would have done this, you and I would have killed him.
Yeah, I think this got by the new ownership. It's like, because it doesn't fit with everything else they're doing. You know, they've got to change the name. They've got to get rid of this major tutty you know, and
that's
and,
their mascot, right?
Yeah, it's just enough. It's just too much chazarai with that team right now.
The dog is named Barney. It's good. An 11-week-old Labrador Black Lab Retriever from the Warrior Canine Connection. It does benefit a very good cause of connecting our wounded war veterans with canines for their rehabilitation. Okay. Nobody's against that. But yeah. when you make it official like that, it screams, yeah, we're not as serious about winning football games as maybe you want us to be.
Yeah, it has a minor league baseball feel to it, you know,
yeah.
And that's not good.
Cut five, Rodgers and the Jets. What do you make of Rodgers? Apparently now it's been leaked he's on an ayahuasca retreat. That's why he missed minicamp last week.
Well, he's made a fool out of Robert Saleh. I mean, just this absolute clown out of him.
Right.
And you know, this comes after he played four plays last year and said stuff like, we've got to cut out all the distractions. It's a minicamp. He missed. It was only, they did only 2 days, I think. It's 2 days. You couldn't reschedule so you could show up for those 2 days? So
it's bad. The Pope went scorched earth on this, on his podcast.
I heard it.
He is a puppet in this game. He just showed you what a puppet he is in this game. It's an inexcused absence. I'm fine with it. He's not here. How could you be fine with it if it's an inexcused absence?
I do love it when Francesa gets so angry. He can barely spit the words out.
You can't have both.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so like, why did Saleh say it that way?
He can't do anything. Rodgers,
but why not call it? But if he had said it's excused, then at least that would have turned the heat down on things.
Well, but that would have been a lot.
Unless then they find out he was doing ayahuasca somewhere in Brazil, and the media be like, so that's excused? Why would that be excused? That sounds trivial.
Yeah, well, maybe he just had to say it to the rest of the players, like, okay, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers, but this is unexcused. Just, you know, just so you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Cheap desks, cut six. Did you see the desk that ESPN put its talent around during intermissions of the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah.
If it looked like a folding table from a local hardware store, it's because it was. A source for ESPN confirmed they had to buy one at the last minute. This is the cheapest of corner-cutting bullshit that you've ever seen. And while it doesn't really matter per se, Andy, it kind of matters because it tells you where's their focus, where's their attention to detail. Do
NFL.
They really...
NFL.
Right. Do they really give a shit? And the answer is a resounding no.
Wait a minute.
We forgot about a table. Does anyone have a table? They ship these wonderful, ornate works of furniture art that are the portable broadcast consoles for these finals, right? You know, and it's expensive because they're huge and heavy, but they do it.
Yeah. I know. I ESPN is NFL, and they take on these other deals, but they're not interested in baseball. They're certainly not interested in hockey. And the NBA ratings have been okay, but, you know, the NFL runs the show. Everything else is, we'll just put something on.
Yeah. Speaking of cheap, you know, NBC is about to spend a lot of money for the NBA.
Yeah.
They're not going to spend any more money for Seth Meyers' band. Late Night with Seth Meyers is saying goodbye to its live house band, the 8G Band, due to mandated budget cuts by the network. Again, embarrassingly cheap bullshit.
Right. I like Seth Meyers, but I don't think I've ever watched a show, so I can't tell you.
Well, it's not that, Andy. It's they're spending money on this and on that and on him and on her and all this other stuff. And yet they're like, well, what can we do without? How about the band for the show, after the local news?
Well, you know how I feel generally speaking about broadcast management people, you know, so not a surprise.
Right. NBA Finals off on Sunday night. I don't understand that. It actually threw me for a loop. I was like, okay, great U.S. Open. Fire up game five, NBA. What? Monday? Yeah. It's weird. Monday, and, you know, the Mavericks threw a big haymaker and landed it in game four. Are we due, finally, for an 0-3 comeback in the NBA?
We're due, but it's not going to happen this time.
Oh, you don't? Okay. We are due, but it's not. Why is it not going to happen this time? You know, they need Porzingis. Tatum is terrible right now.
Yeah, they look bad, but I just think they're a more talented team. And if you're counting on Kyrie to, you know, continue to play well and consistently, they got to win three straight. And they got to really win four straight, and they won one. I don't see them. And Boston hasn't lost three straight all year, so. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, but you know, if you spin the roulette wheel enough, somebody will hit four straight 21s, and you'll say, "How did that happen?" And the answer is random. It can and will happen with enough spins of the wheel.
Who said, "Don't let us win one"? Was that the one Kevin Millar said?
He might have said it. Last year, Jimmy Butler of the Heat said it in the conference finals, and they ended up not from 3-0, but I think it was 3-1.
I think it was 3-0. No, Boston.
No, because nobody's ever come back from 3-0 in a best-of-7 NBA.
Right.
It was 3-1. Boston was up 3-1. Butler, after they won game five to make it 3-2, said, "Don't let us win one."
Yeah.
Before the game, he said, "Don't let us win one," and they did, or another one, I guess it is. Right. I'm probably getting that wrong. I'm sure I'll get a lot of emails. But anyway, so the thing that's interesting statistically is something's got to give here, because no NBA team has ever won a series after going down 0-3, but no NBA team has ever won a series after losing by 38 or more in a finals game, which is what Boston did. They lost by however many it was the other night, so something will change, Andy.
But it went the other way, though. You had the Boston Massacre in 84.
But it wasn't 38 points, though. What was the score of the Boston Massacre? It was a big one, for sure.
It was a big one, but I don't remember. I have to look it up, yeah.
Okay. And then finally, Andy, this one is just for you. You and famous celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay have something in common.
Hi, guys. It's Gordon. I'd like to share a very important message with you all. You know how much I love cycling and triathlons and Ironman, etc. This week, unfortunately, I had a really bad accident, and it really shook me. And honestly, I'm lucky to be here. Now, from those incredible trauma surgeons, doctors, nurses in the hospital that looked after me this week, they were amazing. But honestly, you've got to wear a helmet. I don't care how short the journey is. I don't care, you know, the fact that these helmets cost money, but they're crucial. Even with the kids, a short journey, they've got to wear a helmet. Now, I'm lucky to be standing here. I'm in pain. It's been a brutal week, and I'm sort of getting through it.
Oh, he shows his road rash. Holy crap. His entire side of his body is a big bruise.
A helmet. This weekend is massive. It's Father's Day for new fathers, old fathers, middle-aged fathers. I want to wish you all a very happy Father's Day. But please, 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 please wear a helmet.
So there you go, Andy. You and Gordon Ramsay. I would have thought Gordon Ramsay's magnificent pompadour of hair would have been enough to cushion any blow. But obviously, a helmet saved his life like it did yours.
Absolutely. 100%. I agree with everything he said, and always wear a helmet. I never considered not wearing a helmet, so it did save my life. But I would encourage, and I see people out on the trail not wearing a helmet. I think they're nuts, but that's up to them.
How is it as kids? We never wore helmets.
I know. I used to ride my bike to the zoo right down Rock Creek Parkway. No helmet. But now that they're available, wear them.
Had they not invented helmets back then?
They were worn mainly by people who did the Tour de France. I don't remember them being sold in stores. No, I don't.
Do you know if early Tour de France riders wore helmets?
Yeah, they did. And if you look at them, they were like strips of leather. They're nothing like they are now.
Yeah. Okay, right. Yeah. So they were available, but nobody thought that if you were anything but a serious cyclist, you would need it.
Right. Can I add in one more thing?
Yes, please.
I heard from my my son, who's a loyal listener to the podcast,
oh boy,
that you had planned to rip me about Jerry West not being able to dribble to his left. And I would like to point out to you that Jerry West was the model for the logo. If
Andy,
you check the logo,
Andy,
he is dribbling with his left hand.
Andy, I'm telling you right now, and I love Jeremy, but your boy's on my shit list now. He's giving you bad intel. He's giving you bad intel.
Oh, okay.
I never said I'd give you shit. I said that Jerry West's passing is going to revive the whole could he play in today's era debate. And that is one that Andy and I have danced around for many a year,
right.
many a time. And so therefore, and I didn't even know that he supposedly couldn't go left. I do know that he was the logo.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
he was a phenomenal player for his era. No question about it. Just like every player has to be considered for their era, because even players who are not old to me, who are my contemporaries, who played in the 80s, that era is also different from the 90s and 2000s and beyond.
No question. I mean, great big men who were valued 30 years ago, yeah, they'd have trouble making teams right now. So I get that. But, okay, so he got that one wrong.
Well, I don't remember half the shit I say, so maybe I did graze upon it. Who knows? But, no, I was carefully tiptoeing around the whole, oh, boy, Jerry West died. I don't want to get into with Andy about whether he can play in today's league. Certainly, if you gave him time to acclimate and to train and whatnot, then it would have been fascinating to see, because they let guys carry the shit out of the basketball now, which if you let Jerry West carry the ball and palm it, oh, man, look out. Yeah. And maybe if you taught Jerry West a crossover dribble, he would have taken to it like a duck to water and been really, really, really good at it. You know, we don't know that.
But here's what he was. He had the greatest complete career of any person in any sport.
No
he
question.
He became the greatest GM. And the fact that this was an old school guy who hadn't played in 20 years took a look at a high school kid and goes, yep, he's that good. I'm going to trade to get him. We're going to win championships around him. Kobe Bryant. When Bryant went 12 overall,
he traded
Vlade Divac, who used to smoke cigarettes in the locker room, for Kobe Bryant.
I know.
I mean, come on.
I know. And you know what? The Lakers ran him out because he dared to say, hey, Genie, I don't think it's a great idea that you're fucking the coach, because, you know, some of the guys on the team might wonder whether you can be impartial as a owner. But, oh, well. So it goes. All right, Andy, as always, a pleasure, my friend. And we will talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right, Zab. Take care. I'm easy like some morning. Whoa.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.